Go Light presents Murder Most Irish.
Yeah,
we're on holidays, we're in Birmingham, right. And I don't even know how she said it or where it came from,
right?
But I was like to Graham, do you miss me when I'm not there, because you haven't seen me in so long? Are you paying attention to
yes
me?
I am, I'm just making sure this is still
recording. And she was like out of nowhere, she was just sitting on her bed in the bedroom in the hotel, and she just went, he doesn't miss you, he has another wife.
And I was what? Like,
she was like, he has a secret wife. And I was like, Dad has a secret wife. And she was like, yeah. And I was like,
who is
okay.
The secret wife?
Who is the secret wife? And she was like, it's a woman. Her name is Alicia. And I was like,
Alicia, her friend.
Yeah, it's like Lily. I was like, we have a ring camera. No one comes and goes to the house. She was like, he covers it up.
The little shitbag.
I was like laughing at her, and she just thought it was funny. But like, could you imagine if we didn't have a ring camera?
And he was just letting secret women in.
He was like, hey, what? Like, what are you talking about?
He's also, I love how needy you are.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You need people to miss you.
Yeah, I need people to love me and miss me.
I would never ask that question.
And he hates me, and I don't need him to like me, but I want to know why he hates me.
Has he told you he
hates? Oh, he just is absolutely gunning for me. Like, he dislikes me a great deal.
Did something happen then?
Oh, he's just like, no, nothing. But I get the feeling that he thinks I'm there to like... I think he's a little bit threatened by me.
Oh, why is everybody in corporate situations so fucking weird?
I'm just like,
no one is threatened by. Shut up.
No, like, I could be wrong, but like, that's the impression I get. It's almost like there's a lot of conversations around where he's like, "That's my job." I'm like,
sir,
get
a fucking grip on your.
Anyway, life. But yeah, I actively would be like, why does he dislike me so much?
Well, he's a fucking dick, so screw that guy. Let him go to hell.
Yeah, no, I need my other half to like...
Oh, I would never ask somebody that question.
I was like, are you bored when I'm not there?
No, whenever we're away, you'll ring Graham and go, do you miss me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, if she doesn't knock this shit off, you've been gone for 2 days.
Yeah, and he misses me for every minute I'm gone.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah,
he's
no,
too
I
busy.
Would.
He's too busy living his secret life with his second wife,
secret
Alicia.
But yeah, so that was that. And I was like, Lily. And he was like, she gets you in trouble.
She will get you in trouble.
I was like, she wouldn't. Like,
imagine if
real.
Part of you was like, does he? Do you?
Do
and
you?
And a huge fight just broke out. And the way kids' brains work, it's fucking hilarious.
I know. And she was just laughing. She was like, ha ha ha. And Graham was like, I don't. And I was like, I know you don't.
Lily is me. Lily is like, why is she asking this question?
Yeah, she could be. I don't know. She'd just be like, no, we miss
she's
you.
She's emotionally stunted like I
am. Yeah.
Like, if someone tells me they miss me, I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, I don't know what to do with that.
I miss you too. I say I miss you all the time.
I know, but it's you're different. Like, if Flavia said that to me, I'd be like, okay. Like, I'm really bad. Like, I'm really, I know I am. I know I've had conversations with my therapist about this, but like, I don't like, I can't do that. I can't ring someone and go, do you miss me?
Is that not a dependable thing? Is that
I feel like,
do you feel guilty?
Not guilty, but I feel like if someone misses, like, it's a hyper independence thing where I'm like, I don't need anybody to miss me. I don't need to miss anybody.
Oh no, I don't need to miss him.
Oh, so this is a narcissism.
Yeah.
Okay, cool, cool, cool.
Come on
that's
now.
How it works.
You know who you're talking to. Yeah, no, I find that mine and Graham's relationship is slightly better when I'm travelling.
Yeah, well, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah.
When you
Whereas
have a little
like,
bit of a break.
Now,
it's nice.
But then in saying that, when we're back together and I've been travelling for like a good long time, it's a very short-lived experience of being back together and loving each other intently.
Is that because you're kind of like, oh, the house, I have to look at the house now, yeah, yeah, and stuff like that? Yeah, no, I get that.
So you're like, the reason I'm like, I miss him, and I miss, obviously, Lily,
yeah,
and I miss him so much, and then when I get back, it's very short-lived. Because the missing doesn't include all the shit I can't say.
I know.
And it doesn't include the, like, I haven't wiped under the toaster in a month and a half because you're not here and no one told me that I need to do it.
Under a toaster. I used to do it in work. I would lift up the toaster in work and clean out under the toaster.
Wait, I tell you, I know he knows. Yeah, I bought a small vacuum.
For these reasons.
Just to vacuum up this stupid shit that you can't get to on the top of the counter. Anyway, but yeah, so it's really short-lived, God love him. It's like a day and a half of me being like, I miss you so much. Oh, give me a kiss. And then it's like,
I saw a slight mark on the table.
It's like, I took the plug out of the sink, you manky pig. I took the plug out of the sink today, and we've one of those plugs that like has holes in it.
Is it downstairs or upstairs?
Downstairs. So when you push it down, it stops the water from running out. But when you pull it up, it has like a grid, like a big lumps of like crap going
down it, yeah.
I said, you're going to make one of us sick.
Why? What was wrong?
Emma, I don't think he'd ever taken the plug out to, like, clean underneath. It was, like, full of fucking rotten meat.
Oh, he didn't clean it out. Okay, I gotcha.
And he was like, I do. And then I boiled the kettle and he stood there and I just stood there and passively, aggressively poured boiling the water down. And I was like, do you do this? And he was like, no.
I do that every day. I love doing it. I love going to make a cup of tea. Then I make my cup of tea and I get the boiling water and I go...
And I
don't come from me wasting water. I don't need to hear it. But I do it.
Boil my cup of tea in the morning. I put either Zaflora or like bicarbonate of soda. I put that down the drain. And then I pour boiling water into it to like clean out the drain.
Clean out the drain.
So I don't have fruit flies and stuff coming up.
Exactly. I do it every day. I love doing it. I love it.
Scott, I was like...
I always feel like, oh, it's clean.
Yeah, I'm such an old one. Anyway.
No, but we have to do to keep our house. I can't keep my house. My house is my bedroom's a bit
sad. Back to being a narcissist. Yeah, no, I need you to miss me and I need you to love me and I need to know that you miss me and love me.
I would love to be like that. Like, I would love to have that emotional availability. Yeah. I can't. I'm like, please don't tell me. Please don't.
And I would love to have a little bit of you where, like, I do this thing where I'm like, I don't care if they don't like me. I totally care. I cannot
help. I've never cared about anything more in my life.
Yeah, I cannot help but care. I'm like, oh, not even know why don't you like me. What did I do
to make you... Oh, that's understandable. I get that where, like, it's like, what could I have possibly done to warrant this kind of dislike of me?
Like,
I completely get that. That would bother the fuck out of me. Only, especially, not in real life, in work that would bother
me. Yeah, in work. Like, this,
I'm like, what's the beef here? Tell me the problem. So, like,
it's like, I cannot, I'm like, this bothers me. Because, and the other thing is because to me it's super unwarranted. And I've asked people to be like, hey.
What did I do?
Does anybody know what I did?
Does anybody have an idea what happened?
Did I take a shit on his desk? And I call his mat a cunt?
Who is this?
I'll tell you after.
Okay, tell me after.
But yeah, in Rachel, who's lovely and sweet and who's less bothered by that shit than me, is like, fuck him.
Yeah, no, she's not wrong.
No, she's not. She's like, I don't think it has any relevance to do with you personally. Yeah, I think it's just what you represent.
Yeah, I think she's
She was
right.
Like, I don't think this person has ever came across within this company anyway that's capable of doing some of the things that they do.
Yeah. And
they feel very
like,
but even like that thing of like, they feel very much threatened. It's like, I do not want your job, sir.
That's the thing. You're not going for anybody's job. No. Why does everybody think that you're good?
I think people think, so I did see this thing today. I was like reading about like when people are inherent people pleasers, which I don't necessarily think I am, but if you're an inherent people pleaser, then quite often you saying no to something is misconstrued as aggression.
Of course, yeah.
Because people are used to being a certain way. So yeah. I was like, maybe with this individual when I came in, maybe I was like overly pious or something.
I can't imagine you being like that though.
No, neither can I, but like
I think what the problem is here is you're a woman in power.
Yeah, that seems like it isn't. But then I feel like an arsehole if I say that.
No, but it's probably true.
Yeah.
It most definitely is true.
But yeah, anyway, yeah, if you don't love me and miss me, how dare you?
How dare you?
How dare you?
And, no, I do wish I was more like that. I do wish I was more kind of like, not a robot.
I don't think you're robotic.
I can be very robotic about things. Like, Outward displays of affection make me very uncomfortable. Like, very uncomfortable.
How do you think that makes you robotic?
Slightly does. When I see people being, like, super affectionate towards each other, I literally want to crawl into a hole and die. Like, it kills me. I can't do it. Sometimes when I'm watching television or watching a show, skip. Like, I can't deal with it.
I just do the thing where I'm like, oh.
No, it just makes me really like,
ooh. I don't mind
I wish I was more, I wish I was more open to it and I was more like, that's so nice. But I only do that when it's old people.
Oh,
I see old people being sweet to each other, I'm like, oh my God. If I see anyone my age, under or over slightly.
And what's that, like holding hands?
No. That like just making out? Oh, do not make out in public.
Like giving, like sometimes me and Graham are quite like affectionate.
Don't make out in public. That's disgusting.
Is that like when me and Graham are affectionate?
I don't really see you guys being affectionate though. No, that's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. I just don't think
usually
Graham...
Usually you want to kill Graham.
Usually Graham doesn't do that. Like, I don't think Graham would do that in front of me.
No, Graham's not like... I suppose Graham's a little bit like you.
Yeah. I think Graham is quite like me. Yeah. In that sense. I don't think that's in
like
Graham's.
We were in Emerald Park and I was like, give us a kiss. And he gave me a kiss. And then I was like, let's make out.
Yeah, no.
And I could see him being like, your dad's here. And I was like, am I messing?
No, I'm not. And I'm not in public. I'm not either. Like, I'll hold hands with someone. That's
no,
fine.
I wouldn't make out anybody. I wouldn't make out with Graham or anything. I'd give him a little kiss, a little peck.
Like, I was at a... When I was in... where was I? I can't remember. Probably in Edinburgh. The last time I was in Edinburgh, I was in, like, a shop. This really cute wine store shop thing. And I was in and I was buying a bottle of Prosecco. And there was a couple in front of me. And I was like, if I could set this place on fire right now with everybody in it, I would.
Oh, did he make it out?
He was standing behind her. And he was like sucking on her neck.
No, stop it. Immediately.
And he had his hand down her like the back of her jeans. And I was like, I am trying to buy a Prosecco. I do not want to see this softcore nonsense going on in front of me. And I knew the guy that was serving them as well was like, are you fucking kidding me?
No, absolutely not.
I like just stuff like that. Or being like nobody, unfortunately, I need people to understand. Nobody wants to see you sucking on your boyfriend's neck or your boyfriend sucking on your neck. It's fucking gross. Stop it. Like people on public transport doing that.
That's rotten.
Get fucked. I hate you. Like, I immediately hate you. I don't care if people are like, but it's young love. I can give a fuck. I do not want to see your tongue leaving your mouth. I don't want to see it. It's gross. But people love doing that shit. People get off on that shit. Violent jacuzzi.
Oh my God.
Tell me about the violent jacuzzi.
So I had my period. Period story. Disclaimer.
So I got my period.
When was I in Sweden? Not last week, the week before.
The week before, yeah.
Right? Had my period in Sweden. Fine. Like, perfectly acceptable period. Nothing crazy. Just, like, fine. I find when I'm flying, my period is very odd.
Does it get worse or get, like, less?
Gets less. So I'm...
Science people, let us know.
Yeah. I get, like, if I'm travelling, and I was on four flights that week.
It's not that much of a heavy flow,
though. It's not heavy at all. I don't know if my body's just like, oh, we don't bleed here. We don't bleed in Sweden.
We don't bleed in Sweden. We don't bleed in Sweden.
Right, so that's the first thing. Then the next week, I went to Birmingham, and I was there for a week.
Okay.
So I arrived on Monday, and I didn't go home until the following Monday.
Right.
But my period at that point is now done.
Gone.
Done, Sweden.
Done, so.
Then I... So they had a spa in Birmingham, in the hotel, like a swim pool and a jacuzzi. And me and Rach went for a jacuzzi one night after work.
A jacuzzi?
Jacuzzi, that's what we call it. I said, do you want to have a jacuzzi? Said, yeah. The jacuzzi finished at 10, so we got in the jacuzzi at 9.
Okay, so you had an hour in the jacuzzi.
Well, we didn't sit in there for an hour because you fucking died.
Melt.
But like a half hour in the jacuzzi, she pressed the button. I swear to God, I said to her, if I fucking... Rach, you might turn... I might fucking hit the ceiling.
Was it like...
Like, it was... fucking... She had to hold on. She got in. She's much lighter than me. She had to fucking hang on to the side. I was like, God, fuck. My period came.
Back. In the jacuzzi?
No, like, I went back to the room.
Oh, when you went back up to the room.
And, like, wiped. And it was like...
Hey, Ben, how are you?
It was really watery. It was watery bright red. And I was like, what the fuck's this jacuzzi done to me? So, like, I was like... And then I bled for like 4 more days.
It was like there was something stopped up there and then I went...
Honest to God, this jacuzzi...
A violent jacuzzi.
This violent jacuzzi...
I'm calling this episode a violent jacuzzi.
The violent jacuzzi gave me my period.
This is... You know what this is? You know what I love about this?
Go on.
Remember those magazines back in the day?
Where you're like, you're pregnant.
A fox made me pregnant. Yeah. A violent jacuzzi gave me my period.
Yeah,
and it's you... Standing beside the jacuzzi.
Honest to God. And then
A violent jacuzzi gave me my period. That's what I'm calling this week.
And it was like, every time I like went to the toilet, it was still bleeding, but it was like super.
Oh, dude.
It wasn't like normal period blood. It was like fresh blood. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
Your period.
Were you
like,
were you in pain? Maybe it cut you. Maybe it hurt you.
No, I was in pain. So then about two, like I kept getting a pain in the top of my leg, which is normal when I
have
my
period. Yeah, I get that too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I kept getting like a stabbing pain here. But remember when I went to the doctor and she was like, "You've got HPV," and then it turned out I just have a friable cervix.
Yeah. Do you think that's what it might have been?
Maybe, because I don't have HPV.
Maybe it was like...
That day I rang Graham and I was like, "You better start talking!"
The two of us were like, "What the fuck?"
And he was like, "What?" And I was like, "You gave me a sexually transmitted disease and I've only been with you for 18 years.
And then the letter came and we were like, "Oh, okay."
And I said that to the doctor. I was like, "You like told me I had HPV by
and
looking...
And you panicked,
by
yeah.
my looking at my cervix.
Yeah.
And I did not. And I tell you... I divorced.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Like,
and the only thing about HPV is, like, yeah, it does lay dormant for a long time. So you know what I mean. It could
lay dormant for 18 years. Yeah. So the last person I had sex with other than Graham was 19-20 years ago.
Well, Graham, you didn't do it. He didn't do it. But we're saying he didn't do it. Nothing happened. She just has a very delicate
cervix.
But that could have been it. It could have literally just.
Yeah.
And like,
how violent was that jacuzzi?
Were the two of you like,
honest to God, I was like, gee, like I said to Rachel, I said, "You could look up and be fucking stair shaped hole in the ceiling."
But they can be violent. I've seen people put on those bubbles in front of them.
It was fucking intense.
A violent jacuzzi stole my virginity.
And then I was there the next night by myself, quartering.
Vagina. Oh, wait, you have any housekeeping?
Oh yeah, I wanted to talk about the housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
Yeah. We're gonna have this at the live show as well. We're gonna do housekeeping at the live show.
So at a barbecue in Minnesota last night, where my lovely friends have taken me to meet their friends, and so this is on Facebook. No one, absolutely no one, me, Emma's cats, Ken, and Emma's cats too. and she said, so then Jessica Fitzsimons responded, and it just made me smile because Colin works so hard on these songs and they're amazing. So she said, at a barbecue in Minnesota last night where my lovely friends have taken me to meet their friends, and that song may have been played, sung along to, and there was even some choreography going.
Stop.
And then someone, Lisa McBride, said, "Please tell me choreography was videoed." Lisa McBride said it wasn't, as the phone was being used to play it, but I think we've enlisted another listener after that. And
that's
sweet.
So nice. Thank you so much, Colin. We'll be so happy to hear that. That was on the Facebook page, was it?
Yeah, and then Holly Nord said, "I sing it to my two cats on the regular basis."
It's a great song.
And then someone, Emma Smith, said, "This will be my house for song head for days." Then people were like, "That's their favourite song."
It's a great song. It's epic.
Burning Up the Priest is another contender. So
funny. Hey, Becky. Becky's burning up priests.
Oh yeah. And then the Pet Shop songs, Pet Shop Boys. I didn't know the actual words, but knew Colin's version.
He's going to be so happy to hear this, lad.
Can't
no
help
idea.
But sing Colin's versions. Got my period unexpectedly early last week and treated my girlfriend to a version of "I want to free bleed." "I want to free bleed."
That kills me. That sounds great as well.
I sing that in work all the time. We didn't have sanitary bins when we first launched the building.
Yeah.
And I was like, "We have to close the building down." And Rachel was like, "Why?" And I was like, "Or else
we're free bleed."
I said, "We'll let everybody free bleed."
Right. You know what one of the funniest things Colin has ever done is on the Patreon, and it makes me laugh every single time. He says, "Murder Most Irish is filmed in front of a deaf cat in Ballyfermot." Every time. I laugh every single time. It's so good. Sorry, I'm just gonna... I have no... Oh, I do have housekeeping. So, for the live show, with regards merch, we're going to have pins and prints. Toe bags pending. We're hoping to have them. It is just going to be card payments, no cash payments, because we don't want to handle cash, A. And B, we'd have to have like a float. It could get messy. So fully card payments. We're going to have like one of those sum up card machines so you can tap your phone or your card. I'm really sorry. I hope that's okay for everybody. The only reason we're doing it. Or even if you want to send it to PayPal, that's fine as well. I have PayPal, so you can send it to PayPal. But unfortunately, just because I don't want to carry cash around, and I don't obviously want there to be mistakes with change made and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So just card. So if you can bring your card or your phone, that'd be great.
Yeah, no, that'd be great.
So
cash is not king here.
Cash is not king, unfortunately. I am terrified of holding cash, carrying cash, or being any part of cash. So yeah, we will have the sum up. We have the sum up machine. So
yeah.
And I think our sisters are going to be doing the...
two very different people.
Two very different people, but they're going to have a great time together. They're going to be doing the thingy, so you'll get to meet them, which is nice. So yeah, that's all I had. I don't have anything else. The pins are amazing.
The pins are very cool.
I'm obsessed.
If you don't stop eating.
I'm the prize. Me.
If this is the prize.
Me. I'm a prize.
I'd kill myself.
That's the way I say men aren't the prize and then you have to put up with me.
I know.
I'm not actually the prize.
Enoch Burke's fine has passed €148,000 because he's still showing up at that school.
Are you fucking kidding?
Isn't that insane? €148,000 and he's still showing up at that school.
How is he going to pay this?
No, I don't know. I don't know what happens if you don't pay your fines. That's not true. I do. Straight to jail. I don't pay.
Straight to jail.
I don't pay my TV license. That's not true. I do.
Don't say this on a podcast.
I do. Graham pays it by direct debit over a joint account.
He just keeps turning up to Wilson's.
Yeah. So it's fine. It's surpassed. That's what. Do you remember today you said those two guys in Longford or wherever have been arrested
for
harassing the
librarian. The librarian in Cork, yeah.
Nothing's... They're just going to get fined.
They're just going to fine him and they won't go to jail.
Yeah, anymore. Nothing's going to happen to them.
So he's just still doing it? He's still turning up? Yeah. But it's not trespassing?
But they're fining him and... But like, what...
What is that in jail again?
Like...
See, he's made a martyr out of himself, which really bothers me as well. And now Graham Linehan's like, me and Enoch Burke are... Shut the fuck up, serious? Graham Linehan. Talk shit about my friend's family, you prick. Anyway, fuck Graham Linehan.
And Maloko. What's the lady's name for Maloko?
Roisin. Roisin, come on, man.
How can you, like, your entire career is made by queer people?
Your entire, like, listener base.
And Big Pharma is the problem. Big Pharma! Anyway, I'm going to tell the story.
Hey, Colin, tell us about the Patreon.
Sure thing, Lily Pops. Hey there, MMI fans, it's me, Colin, and do I have news for you. It's all going down over at www.patreon.com/murdermostirish, where we've totally revamped our Patreon offering for you mega fans. That's right, now all of your favourite Patreon stuff can be found in one place as we bring you our MMI Super Show, exclusively for Patreon, featuring all the usual banter and chat between Emma and Sarah Jane, plus me thrown into the bargain, along with Lily's Tales, Maximilian's Bell Bag, and some surprises along the way. But that's not all. Every single week, due to popular demand, we will be bringing you a full-length story, whether it be Miscellaneous Most Irish for those cases that just don't fit on the main show, Murder Most International for those cases you guys have been crying out for, or even Music Most Awesome, where we talk about our favorite albums. But wait, there's even more. How about MMI Drive, the fan favorite podcast show where Emma and Sarah Jane drive around Dublin talking about all sorts of shite, plus our monthly Ask Me Arse segment where you get to pick the brains of the girls and maybe even ask me a question or two. So what are you waiting for? Come on over to www.patreon.com/murdermostirish and join in the fun for only €6 a month.
Give my mammy €6.
So I'm going to tell the story of Noah Donoghue.
Yes.
Now, before I tell the story, it was very difficult to write this story.
Was it?
Because there is a massive amount of like tabloids, Reddit, like sleuths on the internet.
A lot of people have opinions.
A lot of people have opinions. A lot of people have ideas. A lot of people, like, just a ton of speculative information.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guesswork, but like no real information released.
Yeah.
So my main points where I got my information from are from a podcast with, what's that man's name? Johnny English or something. I'm not even making it up.
That's a fucking...
I think his name is Johnny
no,
English.
No, it's not. That's a Rowan Atkinson character.
What? His surname's English. Hang on.
Is it Stephen English?
Let me see. Johnny...
I'll show you Johnny English right now. And you're going to be like... Johnny English. There he is.
Okay, his name is James English. I wasn't a million times off, right? Yeah, well, he's not, right? Hey.
Go on.
Fiona Donoghue did an interview with James English, and then there's a Vice article as well, which I'll link.
Okay.
The Vice article, to be fair, and I don't say this often about Vice, was actually very, very good. But there's stuff in the Vice article I didn't put in.
Okay.
There's stuff in the James English interview with Fiona Donoghue that I didn't put in. Because I didn't want to like the stuff online with the like the stuff on Reddit is insane.
Yeah, I think it's one of those cases that has garnered a lot of people having a lot of kind of
yeah, and for like good reason, right? He's a kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He died in very odd way.
Odd circumstances. Yeah, no, I know, I know. And I get
Catholic,
that.
Catholic.
Yeah.
He's in a Protestant area. He's mixed race.
Yeah, that's true. There is a lot of conspiratorial stuff going on.
Yeah, but at
case.
The end of the day, he's someone's kid.
That's true. He's
and he didn't
he's
come
somebody's
home.
Baby, lads. Like,
so
you know.
Early summer evening on the 21st of June, 2020, after 3 months of intense COVID lockdowns, 14-year-old Noah Donoghue left home on his black mountain bike. Now, before he left, he'd gone out the day before to see his friend.
Okay.
And Fiona was like, it was 5:30 when he left. This is late in the evening. It's not like in the middle of the day. And Fiona was like, didn't want him to go, but
okay.
She felt bad because of the COVID lockdowns because he hadn't seen his friends.
She was like, give him a break.
So she was like, who am I to like tell him not to go and not see his friends? So she was like, yeah, you can go.
Give him
but
a little break, like.
She, like, listening to her talk is heartbreaking because she says she plays it over and over in her head.
Yeah, no, it's horrible.
So she was like, you have to be on by April.
Okay.
Right, so she was like, you have to be on my 8, and he was like, fine. And she said that he didn't have a history of, like, he just did as he was told.
Yeah, he was.
He's
like
a dream
arguing
kid.
With her
yeah.
all the time and
so
stuff.
So he was like, I'll be home by 8. So, carrying his backpack and his laptop and some books, he planned to make the short journey across the city to meet friends to work on a school project. What's important to note is that there's 180-odd CCTV cameras on the, like, route that Noah
road, yeah.
was due to take, and only... There's only 23 images captured that have been, like, shown.
Okay.
To anybody, including Fiona. So, he was going to meet friends to work on a school project and hang out. COVID had been difficult for everyone, and getting to be with friends and hang out and have some fun sounded like it was a well-needed break. But this never came to be, and poor Noah never got to see his friend that day, and he also never made a home that day. And she also said that, like, when he left, she was like, ring me when you get your friend. But she was like, get your friend to ring me because he had no money in his phone. And she was like, just as like a warning to like all parents, like, make sure your kid is a way to contact you.
Put money in your
but then
phone,
also
yeah.
she was like, I didn't know his friend's phone numbers. So I was ringing his phone. I didn't get any answer. I couldn't
she
ring.
She couldn't ring the other people's numbers.
She's like, I didn't have them. So... Noah was 14 years of age. He was super intelligent. He was really smart. He was a gentle boy, and he was Fiona's only child and her absolute everything. Noah lived with his mum, a healthcare assistant in South Belfast University's district, a diverse community of students and immigrants. So Noah and his mum lived in the Holy Lands. And if you're not from the north, it might be difficult to understand what the Holy Lands is. But pretty much in Northern Ireland, especially in Belfast, you've like a very segregated city where one side of the city is Catholics and the other side is Protestants. Now, Noah and Fiona were Catholics.
Yes.
Fiona is from Tyrone,
mm-hmm.
just on the border of Donegal. And she was raised Catholic. But Noah was actually... He's part... His dad's American.
Okay.
So she met her... Noah's dad in America when she was living there illegally.
Okay.
As, like, she was, like, a nanny type
okay.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she got pregnant and she decided to come back home because she didn't want to, like, give birth to an illegal child in America to give him everything possible. But the Holy Lands is where... If you're not from Belfast, it's where you live. So pretty much in the Holy Lands, you've got like immigrants, you've got people who aren't from Belfast, you've got people who aren't Catholic and aren't Protestant living in these areas. You've got students, like it's a really diverse part of the city, but it's also generally full of social housing. Mm-hmm. So he lived with his mum in this area. Now his father, Emmanuel, who was originally from Senegal, but they Senegal. But they met in America after Noah was born, and the pair, like, so the pair occasionally spoke on Skype, so like he still maintained a relationship with his dad, but not a very strong one, and they never saw each other in person really. He was kind and funny child, and his immediate family adored him, and he was well liked in his friends group in school. He was naturally academic, but so like I don't mean but as in, he wasn't like out on the road playing football. He wasn't. He had like plans to be a doctor.
Okay.
Like he was really studious.
Okay.
And being academic was really important to him. To his family and teachers, Noah was very smart and a loving boy, and he wanted to study medicine in his future. Mm. He was committed to his studies and he was excellent at science. He had won awards for maths and he was really proficient musician. He played the cello. He played basketball for his school team, and his team and his principal, Paul McBride, of Noah's school, which is St. Malachy's College, called Noah the perfect gentleman and had the heart of a lion. The school that Noah went to was like a really well-known school. It's like he went to a great school. He was really, really well liked. He had tons of friends, and during COVID he maintained all of his friendships through Discord. So he spent an awful lot of his time on Discord talking to his friends.
Kids love Discord.
I know. According to Fiona, Noah didn't seem to be having any problems. Noah's best friends, who had hung out with him the day before his disappearance, they didn't notice anything strange about his friend's behaviour. All was normal in the world of this kid.
Okay.
So here's what we do know. CCTV footage shows that around halfway into his journey, his backpack now is no longer with him.
Okay.
So he's no longer got his backpack with him. His backpack has disappeared, and it happens completely off camera. So there is no idea where his laptop and bag are now. Noah veers off route completely, and he is then witnessed falling off his bike and then seen cycling naked in a housing estate, miles away from his meeting spot with his friends. So he's now completely off course. He's now unfortunately naked. He seems really confused. Like, he drops his bike, he walks down the side of a house, and what I mean, what I will put up pictures, you would have never known this was here unless someone told you.
Okay.
So he walks off and vanishes at the side of this house. From leaving home to his disappearing, the total time frame is 18 minutes.
That's nothing.
It's nothing. Absolutely nothing. Like, he cycles up. Minutes. Do you know Victoria? I've brought you to Victoria Street. You know where we had breakfast?
Yep.
That's Victoria Street.
Because Michelle used to go to college along there. So.
He cycles there. And there are only. And there's a big police station there.
Yeah. I have to say, this poor woman.
Yeah, I know. So, at 5:45 p.m., Noah left his house. He was planning to meet his friends at Cat. So, we're just going to go through exactly what we know, because it's very confusing. This all takes place in 18 minutes. He was planning to meet friends at Cave Hill Country Park, a couple of miles from his school, to work on a project for the Duke of Edinburgh Award. A scheme that hundreds of thousands of young people take part in across the UK every year. It's like a Goshka Award.
Oh, okay.
So he's doing extracurricular activities. This was a journey he had made frequently. At 5:50 p.m., Noah was captured on CCTV cycling along Royal Avenue through the busy shopping district of Belfast City Centre. This is where the bizarre chain of events begins. By the time he gets to the bottom of Royal Avenue, his rucksack is gone. Despite it being the city's busiest streets, there are no witnesses or CCTV records why or how Noah became separated from his bag. The other thing that's really important to note is, like, Belfast is one of the most CCTV orientated cities in Europe. It has more CCTV footage than most cities in Europe because of the troubles. You also can't grow trees in the city centre for obstruction of CCTV. So it's not as if this place is
It's not like he's not down, monitored. He's down the fucking country in Longford.
No.
Like, he's actually in one of the
most heavily recorded areas in Europe. So
at 6 p.m. so now we're a half hour, Noah is seen falling off his bike by a driver at a busy junction. The driver got out to help, but Noah gets back on his bike and cycles off.
Okay.
At around 400 metres after falling off his bike, Noah reappears on CCTV cycling down York Road. Within 2 minutes of this image being captured, by the time he reaches a housing estate in North Road in North Belfast, an area of the city he didn't know, and around 3 miles away from his intended destination, inexplicably, his clothes and his helmets... So he had a helmet on, has now vanished. So that's the other thing. You know this thing where people are like, maybe he had a head injury?
Yeah, he had a helmet on.
He had a helmet on.
What the fuck is going on with this, sir?
The moment he loses them are again not caught on CCTV, nor are there any witnesses. His bizarre nakedness is first witnessed by two residents who see him cycling, wearing no clothes, into a cul-de-sac of the housing estate. Noah's last known movements captured by CCTV are walking naked down the side of a house towards a gate that led to a park and a storm drain area at 6:03 p.m. Police initially said the last CCTV images were captured at 6:11, but then revised the time to 8 minutes earlier. Noah's mother reports him missing to the police at 9:03 p.m. So we're now 5:30 until 9:03 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
She knew something was wrong because Noah was due to call her at 6:30 when he was meant to arrive at the park. Around 24 hours after Noah was last sighted, Karen Crooks, who lives in the cul-de-sac where Noah was seen walking naked, reported to the police that Noah's mountain bike was lying at the bottom of her driveway. Police focused on that area behind her house, specifically a storm drain.
Okay.
Now, when I say storm drain, we'll put up a photo. This isn't like, you know, you see the storm drain in America?
Yeah.
This is a tidal storm drain. So it fills up and empties itself out of water twice a day.
Okay.
It is, there is no light in it. You cannot see in it. It is pitch black. Your eye's not going to adjust.
Okay.
There is no light in the storm drain. It is at least 2.5 miles long.
Jesus.
And it goes right under the motorway.
Oh, okay.
And like it goes, and he's not close to the motorway. So this thing is big and it's not vast in terms of it being wide, but it is incredibly long.
Okay.
And that's really important when we get into the details later.
Okay.
So specialist search and rescue teams were brought in to cover the Northwood Road and surrounding area. Also, to be very clear, the woman that reported the bike, this storm drain's at the back of her house. She didn't even know it was there. So how does no one know it's there?
She didn't even know it was there.
She's like, people on the road didn't even know this storm drain existed.
How the fuck did he know it was there?
So, specialist search and rescue teams were brought in to cover the Northward Road and surrounding areas where his helmet, hoodie, shoes had been scattered and found by residents. His underwear, his t-shirt and his shorts have never been recovered. During the search, his mobile phone was retrieved from a park that he passed on his way to Northward Road. 3 days into the search, Superintendent Mer Clark held a press conference and said that he believed Noah had travelled to North Belfast, fallen from his bike, he had suffered a head injury which may have led him to become disorientated, removing his clothes. This original police theory would later form the basis of Fiona and her supporters' claims of a cover-up.
Okay.
Now, the one thing I will say at this point, and I think I've written it down again, so if I repeat myself, sorry. I said I would never cover this story, and there is definitely podcast material of me being like, I won't cover this, because at the time, Fiona Donoghue was very much verbally saying that this story was what happened.
Yeah.
That she felt like there was no misconduct, there was no foul play, that there wasn't a cover up, and she very much wanted to put this to rest and wanted her son's memory to rest. That has now changed, so I'll cover the story. But I just want to be really clear on that. At this time, this woman was, like, being tormented by people being like, your son didn't die the way the police are saying. Yeah. And she felt very much like that was the truth. She's now changed her story on that. So I'll cover this story. But if that was still the same, I wouldn't cover it.
I know, yeah.
On the same day that the press conference was held, police were contacted by the manager of a cash converter pawn shop. A convicted criminal and long-term heroin user called Daryl Paul had attempted to sell Noah's laptop. Police received an anonymous tip-off that Paul had tried to sell the laptop at a party the previous night, and he was arrested at his flat where Noah's backpack and books were also seized. The other thing is that across the road from where Fiona and Noah lived, there was like a hostel that was set up as essentially an emergency response to COVID. So do you remember during COVID, all the homeless people magically weren't homeless anymore because they were like, we can't leave them out because they'll get COVID.
Yeah.
They did the same thing in Belfast, but they put them in this hostel. And Fiona had made like numerous complaints to the hostel manager and to the council because it was just constantly full of heroin addicts who were selling and doing drugs. And outside, she has killed children,
I guess.
Yeah, but she also had someone who OD'd outside her house as well. So after a question on Paul, who had almost 200 previous convictions for offences, including theft and armed robbery, police took him to his friend Maria Nolan's flat at Queen's Quarter Housing Association in University Street, a community homeless shelter literally across the road from the Donoghue home, where they now retrieved Noah's laptop. This is like literally right across their from their house.
Hold up, right across from Noah's house.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Paul claimed he had found Noah's rucksack against a wall at the University of Ulster building at the bottom of the Royal Avenue where Noah is thought to have become separated from his bag. By day four, the city has now got a widespread search for Noah. They still haven't found him. He's missing. Thousands of public volunteers and specialist police rescue teams covered terrain over the underground in the Northwood and Skeg O'Neill areas of Belfast, with no clear answers, unverified theories now spread on social media. So I remember, because this is such an odd, like, this boy was seen naked, he's 14, he was cycling. I remember just Reddit, like, exploding.
Yeah, I think that was the weirdest part for everybody, is how he had been fully dressed on a bike, and then within minutes his clothes were gone, and he was, like, 14 years of age.
Mm-hmm. So Rumours of sectarian hate crimes now start to like spread. Noah is a Catholic. He is a mixed race boy. He's cycling in a predominantly loyalist Protestant area, a white area of the city. And that is still like recovering of like 30 years of like sectarian violence or the Troubles and all of that. Those things still exist up there.
Yeah.
They're not massively prevalent. They're not at the forefront of every day, but they still exist, and there's still tension. Only a few weeks before Noah went missing, 15-year-old Flynn Maguire, also a pupil at St. Malachy's College, was attacked while cycling by a mob of teenagers in the same area. So Flynn's mother claimed it was a religiously motivated attack, and said that potentially the same thing happened to Noah. The discovery of Noah's laptop at a homeless shelter opposite his family home also fueled public doubt about the police versions of events, because it's right beside his house.
Yeah.
That Noah had simply fallen, sustained a head injury, and then gone missing. Yet police maintained that Paul later handed a 3-month prison sentence for stealing the rucksack, even though the official line is that he found it.
So he got sentenced for that.
Yeah, but he's sentenced for being an opportune thief. That's what they sentence him with.
Okay.
But he's not, because he found it. And you haven't, like, in this, you're not changing it. Could not relate to Noah's disappearance because he was caught on CCTV in another part of the city at the time he went missing. So, like, even he was like, "There, I have an alibi."
This is very strange.
So strange. Like, the more you get into it, the more you see why sleuths were like,
what the fuck is going on here? Yeah.
As the hunt for Noah continues, rumours then circulate on social media that the schoolboy had been murdered and buried. Jamie Shaw, who's a 26-year-old from Belfast, posted a 9-second video on Snapchat saying that he had been burying bodies, including Noah. He was arrested and charged with improper use of electronic communication.
And rightly so.
Yeah, but like, fuck. Nothing comes of that, obviously. 6 days after Noah's disappearance, police announced that they had found Noah's body. At a press conference, Superintendent Murtlough Clark said he didn't believe Noah had been murdered. It is a disappointing that I again need to comment about people circulating a number of rumours about Noah's disappearance, which were completely without foundation. An investigation into the circumstances of Noah's disappearance is still continuing, but there is no evidence to suggest foul play. How do they know that?
That's what gets me. How the fuck do they know that? Like, that's such a blanket statement to make.
And they
in
have
such a bizarre set of circumstances.
At this point, they've no coroner report. They've just found the body.
Like, it makes no sense to me because, especially, I don't mean this to me, but especially in an area like that, to dismiss the naked body of a 14-year-old boy being found in a storm drain and going, no foul play.
Mm-hmm.
In fucking Belfast.
Yeah.
If that happened in town, I'd be like, something happened there.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
But the rumours and suspicion fueled by allegations of police incompetence, bizarre circumstances did not stop. They just spiralled. How did Noah end up entering a storm drain in Seaview Park behind Northwood Road that he had no idea existed?
I'm getting comfortable, Colin. Don't give out to me.
How could his body end up travelling 1,000 metres through a narrow storm drain system which ran under the M2 motorway but had very little sign of water damage? Was it mere coincidence that Noah's bag was found at the apartment just minutes away from his home? Or who were the two mystery men that were seen hanging around the housing estate around the time Noah disappeared? Here's the storm drain, by the way.
Let me see. Oh, that's totally different than what I was expecting. So he would have had to lift up.
You had to lift up?
Climb down. What?
Doesn't make any sense.
I like that you put the little picture in.
I know, thanks. Residents of the housing estate with the water drain behind it didn't even know it was there. Everyone in the boy's life was scrutinised. Oh yes, this is the other thing. It went riot on Reddit, so I'm not going to pay it much attention.
Okay.
But I'm going to mention it here.
Okay, go on.
He had messaged a Jordan Peterson Instagram.
Jordan Peterson,
the quack. Terrible cunt of a human being. He had messaged a Jordan Peterson Instagram, which he believed was Jordan Peterson. So like, this kid believed he was talking to Jordan Peterson when he messaged him.
Okay.
And the day before he went missing. He believed it was Jordan Peterson. The message was never released. Noah was clearly interested in that man's opinion. But he's also 14.
He's 14.
His international best-selling book, 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote for Chaos, was also in Noah's rucksack when it was found. After the day he went missing. So like, Noah is interested in Jordan Peterson. He's reading his book. However ill-advised that was, he's 14.
Yeah. Sounds about the only age group that would in any way take Jordan Peterson seriously.
So Peterson is like contacted.
The
PSNI contact Jordan Peterson in connection with the Instagram account, and an exchange of emails involving Noah. So this person that was on this Instagram account began emailing Noah, but it's not Jordan Peterson. But Peterson told the police the Instagram account was fake, that there was no involvement of him or his team on that account. But the online sleuths ran with every piece of information this case brought up, and the Jordan Peterson connection really ran riot on the internet. So there was a whole thing on the internet where people were like, he was questioning his sexuality, he didn't know if he was gay or not, and he was like contacting Jordan
Where
Peterson.
Where the fuck did they get that from?
And then, like, Fiona Donoghue had to come out and be like, we're a super open family. If Noah was gay, we would have absolutely... And he would have known that. And, like, at no...
How do they add 2 and 2 and get 27? Like, honest that's ridiculous. To God.
There was rumours of, like, a gang initiation to do with Jordan Peterson and all sorts of, like, stupid things. Online sleuths suggested that Noah might be entering the storm drain... because he had maybe suffered from a psychosis due to the drugs that he was not taking.
Yeah, well, I presume his toxicology report was clear.
Others created their own graphics and timelines to analyse Noah's journey on the day he went missing and more broadly raise awareness of Noah's case. Everyone heard about the case, and one of the reasons we have not covered the case until now is Fiona had publicly pleaded at the time for people to stop making up conspiracies about her son.
Yeah.
Out of respect, we did not want to add any fuel to that fire.
Yeah.
In August 2020, Coroner Joe McCriskin told a preliminary inquest that there was no evidence to suggest that any other person was involved in Noah's death, and it was time for the baseless and inaccurate rumours about what happened to Noah to stop. He said, and I quote, "I understand the concern of the communities in light of Noah's disappearance and death, and the desire for further information. I am asking that speculation ceases from today." McCriskin explained that it appeared likely that Noah entered the storm drain near Northwood Road by lifting the unsecured metal drain cover. "At present, there is no evidence linking Noah's death to the death of any other individual or with an attack on any other individual or individuals in that area in close proximity to Northward," he said. So that goes back to the thing where they taught, like, maybe a mob of kids.
Yes, like, yeah.
Again, the above just stoked the fires of rumour and the online theorising. Thank you. Of what happened. Perhaps because there is such a distrust of the state in Northern Ireland, some people simply do not believe the coroner or the police's version of events. They were convinced Noah had been attacked for the colour of his skin, because he was a child, or because he was from a Catholic part of town. Perhaps, they said, Noah's attacker was a police informant, and that if this came to light, there would be riots. The police of Belfast wanted answers. So where the informant bit comes of is Noah's, like, text messages, Noah's phone, Noah's email information was all requested by the PSNI.
Okay.
And then there was, like, it's, I think it's called a P11 or something like that. I'll get the name of it. It's a P something, but it's a request to keep that sealed from the public.
Oh, okay.
So the sleuths online essentially went down the route of, like, that's happened because there's information in his texts or information in his emails about someone who would essentially cause problems.
Okay.
Now, I read online and I did a bit of digging, and apparently it's quite normal for that to happen because obviously your text messages are private.
Exactly.
And your text messages usually have, like, information about other people. And, you know, like, I've text messages to you where I'm like, Graham has a tiny penis.
We send that to each other every day.
But you know what I mean? Like, they're about other people. And so apparently it's quite normal for that information to be sealed.
Okay.
Because it can essentially breach somebody else's data.
That's fair enough. I understand that.
But it doesn't happen all the time.
Okay.
But it happened in this case.
All right.
And he's 14.
He's 14. He's a baby.
So people in Belfast wanted answers, but Fiona also wanted answers, and she is now beginning to feel what she is being told is not the truth. However, not wanting to cast mistruths publicly, she's keeping quiet. So she doesn't want to stir anything either. Fiona, along with her sister, began to feel like the police were not telling them everything, and she hires her own legal team.
Okay.
To, like, essentially collect information.
Look into it, yeah.
And investigate the death of her son. The investigation is her feeling that it's not the priority to them. That they now begin to publicly call out the concerns. They had been feeling. So the sisters created a Facebook community called the Noah Donoghue Campaign. 117,000 supporters call themselves Noah's Army. True Car processions, flags, banners, paintings of murals across the city. They've been keeping Noah's death in the public eye. So she's now actively being like, I don't want my son forgotten about.
I don't want people to forget about
and
it.
And I don't think this is actually being investigated correctly.
Yeah.
Speaking with Zoom with her sister, Fiona Donoghue, she told Vice World News she does not believe the notion pushed by the authorities that Noah died through some misadventure or suicide. So now the official coroner's ruling is misadventure or suicide. But they're...
What?
Yeah. A lot of their skepticism revolve around storm drain. So, this is a quote from Fiona.
Okay.
If they, the police, tell me how no one knew the storm drain existed, that will at least make sense to me. As the narrative is now very much leading into Noah completed suicide or voluntarily got into the storm drain and could not get back out... Fiona has gone on record and publicly said she does not believe her child got into the storm drain and categorically refuses to accept that line of thought. This is a quote from Fiona. We need a new investigation. It's so obvious to us how badly that investigation was done. We are not accepting their narrative at all. There is not one word I accept. I am absolutely disgusted. It's insulting to know it. It's disrespectful.
It is quite insulting to insinuate that a 14-year-old boy completed suicide by cycling to his friend's house.
Not making it there.
Taking off his clothes, walking into the back of a cul-de-sac 3 miles away from his actual place he was meant to go in an area he doesn't know, finding a storm drain, climbing down into
it. Lifting it up,
climbing down into it and ending his own life is honestly ludicrous. And that is, for them to even attempt to state that is fucking insulting.
And also, let's say Noah was planning to do this, and let's say Noah hypothetically was suicidal.
Yeah.
He made the plans to meet his friends.
Literally.
His friends were waiting for him.
His friends were waiting for him.
He wasn't, I know friends who have completed suicide.
Like, he could have just said, I did contact my friend's mum, and he hadn't have.
Yeah.
But they were waiting for him.
Yeah.
No, that's nonsensical.
So the next bit I'm going to get into is a trigger warning. This, again, is Fiona quoting and talking on the podcast that I was listening to. So they say that he was in the storm drain for 6 days. Bearing in mind, to travel from where his body entered the storm drain to where it was found, he would have had to have climbed 950 metres through the tunnel complex, which he have heard on good authority is, so they've heard, she's heard on good authority that it is humanly impossible because of the obstructions in the chamber. So the chamber's blocked with like debris and sewage.
Of course, yeah.
Neither the police nor the coroner has speculated openly about whether Noah's body travelled through the storm drain complex while he was conscious or unconscious. Although Superintendent Clark described the underground system as extremely challenging pitch black environment when search teams discovered Noah's body. Fiona and Niamh said that according to their information, Noah's body did not show any signs of spending 6 days in an underground water system. The tide comes in twice a day in those tunnels, so we would have been submerged for twice a day. But the only water damage to Noah's body was his hands and feet. This is where the trigger warning comes. There was sewage in that tunnel. So sewage and bacteria would have done horrendous damage to Noah's body?
No.
No. There was no rodent damage, no insect damage to Noah's body either. The state of Noah's body has yet to be confirmed by the coroner.
Why? What the fuck are they doing?
Fiona now believes that a new investigation is needed, and I do not disagree with her.
I fully agree with her. This is incomplete, Sarah.
Like, you would have... Like, we've done stories where they're like, you could, the water... The body was in the water, so actually it was incredibly...
It was damaged and decomposed. Damaged,
decomposed. We couldn't get DNA from it. It had... It was... what did they say? In the elements.
Yeah, in the elements, yeah.
Yeah, but isn't there a thing that... Anyway...
Left to the elements.
Yeah, like, which means, like, animals.
Animals, rodents,
bugs.
He's in a sewage system.
He's in a fucking sewage system.
And he's in a sewage system that empties and drains. So it's not as if he's submerged in water and there isn't, like, animal... Like, he's in a sewage system...
Where the water drains.
So, like, animals are fully in there. It's not inactive.
I don't understand why.
But he's 1,000 meters away from where he got in.
And why the fuck is the... Why isn't the coroner's filing complete? I don't understand.
There are reports that screaming was heard from the area the night Noah was reported missing. No forensics were taken at the scene where his backpack was found or in the house it was found. And Fiona's legal team have passed on many areas of concern to the PSNI and nothing has ever come of them. They're not looking at anything that the Fiona's legal team have given to them, according to Fiona. We brought them information about possible suspects. Fiona also believes that Noah could have been attacked because he was from a Catholic area or because of the colour of his skin. She said the area where he was last seen has a history of problems with racist behaviour. She says, and I quote, "We need a new investigation. It's so obvious to us how badly the investigation are done. We are not accepting their narrative at all. There is no one word I accept. I said this above. I'm absolutely disgusted. It's insulting to Noah. It's disrespectful." Examples of police incompetence during the search. The PSNI released a statement saying they had conducted a missing persons leaflet drop whilst Noah was missing. However, this didn't happen. It never happened.
Bro, why would you lie about something that's so easily proven false?
So they then said that this was a miscommunication, and according to those who had helped in the search, the area where Noah was last seen wasn't cordoned off or sealed. And oddly, so this is really odd because I've gone back and it's really common, and we've spoken about it. There was literally no overtime signed off for Noah's missing, like, there was no overtime at all for during the first day of the search, which is actually incredibly common. Every case we've ever covered where a kid goes missing,
the guards are out like the entire day and night.
We've also spoken about like the total amount of the budget or money, like overtime spent. So the most crucial period of any missing persons is obviously the first day of the search, and there was no overtime. So after like a certain period, it was just pulled. They just stopped. Because they were like, we don't have the police resource. There's no overtime signed off at all.
What the
fuck? Last year, Fiona Donoghue demanded the police look into rumours, in no way substantiated, that Noah was attacked by a heroin needle wielding drug user as he cycled along Royal Avenue before his backpack vanished. We have reason to believe that there is a particular and specific knowledge of this assault in the homeless community and with those who struggle with addiction issues, both in the city centre and also from people who are residents at the Queen's Quarter Housing Association in University Street. Specifically people resident there in June, said Donoghue's solicitor last March. Queen's Quarter is where his laptop is stolen by Daryl Doyle and his friend Maria Nolan, who also has problems with heroin addiction. It's where they lived, and it's also where the laptop was found. So, like, there's a rumour in the city that essentially he was mugged.
Okay. And they mugged him.
June last year, a tabloid newspaper reported a prisoner had confessed to a cellmate. To drowning Noah and received help from loyalist paramilitaries to dispose of the body. Donoghue urged the police to look into the cell confession, but after investigating the needle attack and the jail confession, PSNI said there are no grounds for making any arrests.
Okay.
The mystery was further inflamed when in December of last year it was revealed the police were seeking a public interest immunity. Called a PII certificate, in order to prevent specific internal police information about the case being released during the full inquest into Noah's death in November. While Donoghue alleges that the PII is being used to potentially protect a police informant, police lawyers have said it was common for the methodology. An online petition calling for the police to release the secret files has so far gathered 300,000 signatures. And that is the case of Noah Donoghue, Which just leads you with more questions.
Questions than fucking answers. Also, the fact that they're police are trying to do everything in their power to not get information out there.
It's really
do
odd.
They understand how bad that makes them look?
Yeah, I don't...
Like, are they... They're obviously trying to cover up something wrong that they've done. Or something that they missed that could have potentially helped capture Noah's... Whatever happened to Noah. But this is a lot of police incompetence.
It's insane, isn't it?
A lot of police incompetence. And I understand Noah's mother's frustration at the lack of answers.
Yeah.
And the lack of, like, trying to help her. And then, of course, once again, I'm sure they're trying to do that thing where they try to make women look crazy.
Yeah, so there is a like, want or a, like, campaign
they
to
love
make
doing
Fiona
that, Sarah.
Look like she's unhinged.
Yeah.
And, like, listen, like, it's very difficult to listen to her in interviews because she's so... traumatized
by
like what's happened to her son, and yet like she's incredibly strong. She's out there doing these like interviews and like trying to promote more information about her son, but you can just hear how, and anybody would be affected, but just like she's been gaslit.
100%.
She's been gaslit, and she's like,
I agree.
It's like that movie, The Changeling.
Yeah.
Where they're like,
it is your son.
And she, like, it's like, this isn't what happened to my son.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense what you're saying happened to him. And I can see her frustration in the beginning where she's like with the sleuths and the conspiracy theories, because I'm sure the police are like, well, this isn't helping.
Yeah.
And she's trying to build a relationship with them where she sounds like she's very much on their side.
She wants
to help. She can get more information and get them to help. But like, then you can see that relationship turn because it never changes. And now the police are like, well, you're just a crazy woman.
Oh, they will once again try and make her out to be like an insane person, because that's an easier way of dealing with this than doing your fucking job. This case is bizarre beyond, like, and it's not even like, you know, the correct answer is usually the easiest one. In this case, this does not apply. Like, why was he naked roaming a cul-de-sac that he did not know was able to find a storm drain that people who live in the area didn't know? Climbed down into it, and his body travelled 1,000 metres, is that what you said?
Just under 1,000 metres.
Whilst there was massive obstructions, and his body, the decay on his body, did not match the length of time a person would
have
decay.
But that's according to the Donahue's, right?
Yeah.
But, like, the coroner actually hasn't commented.
No, and the fact that the coroner's... It's not complete.
Mm.
Like, do we know if there was water in his lungs? Do we know... You know what I mean? It's just so many questions. It's like... To lose a child is beyond what I could even imagine. It's unfathomable. I don't know how people live after that. It's so difficult. But to lose a child like this, and for it to be so public.
Yeah.
And then for the police to be like, hey, he had a concussion. That is explaining away.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely had a concussion. So he took off all his clothes and climbed into a storm drain.
Mm-hmm.
And then to insult her by saying he was suicidal.
Yeah.
Who takes their own life in such an abstract,
such
bizarre manner? And I know that there was stuff that there had been CCTV footage of him climbing out his bedroom window at like 5 o'clock in the morning and stuff. And that was brought to her. And she kept saying, I don't know why he did this. I don't understand why he did this. So then theories started to abound that he was climbing out his bedroom window because he somehow got involved with a gang, and potentially that they were making him sell drugs or something like that. There was a lot of theories like that. But people are like, something like that, I'm like, he's a 14-year-old. He's doing stupid shit. But what happened to him, it makes no sense.
No.
And I also think it's very important to note that this was a mixed race boy. In a Catholic mixed race boy entering a heavily Protestant area.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to acknowledge that. You can't just go, oh, yeah, that doesn't mean anything. Like, it does mean something, because Ireland, the north of Ireland, is still heavily divided.
Yeah, and it's still got a ton of... It's got much more prevalent racist problems than we do.
Than we actually realise. Just to Noah Donoghue's mother, who I'm sure will never hear this, we just are so sorry, because I can't fathom this. Like, hearing her talk is beyond heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's really upsetting.
Like, her little boy. That's her little boy. She, you know, they had each other. You could tell that it was one of those relationships that they had each other.
But even, right, I didn't talk about the CCTV of him climbing out, because I was like, even if he was involved in a gang, which he wasn't, but let's say he was, what's that got to do with the fact that he ended up in a storm drain?
Storm drain, because I think the police were trying to pass that off as, like, they were trying to do that thing where they were trying to say he was, like, basically trouble. A little shit. Like, that's what they were trying to do. So it's just, it's because that's done with the Gardaí, with people who are younger who are involved in crime or murdered. It's like, oh, he was just a troublemaker. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that, and trying to make Mrs. Donoghue look insane, is a very easy way to sway the public towards what you think.
I get you.
So, I just don't know, man. I don't know. And the fact that he was in there for 6 days. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to go down the conspiratorial route and start being like, you know, there was aliens or shit or whatever, but...
Is that where people have gone?
Oh, yeah. All those theories are circumvented.
Stop it.
I just feel like the PS and I did not do their job. They did not do their job properly, and they did not do their job thoroughly. That's what I feel.
I forgot to mention, I did save this. There, so, like, this woman has been through hell,
mm-hmm.
is still going through hell, and a 44-year-old man was handed a 2-year probation order for online harassment of schoolboy Noah Donoghue's mother. This man was arrested. William Logue posted a number of sectarian and racist comments aimed at Fiona Donoghue on Twitter in 2021. Yeah, this guy was like, Logue from Northward Parade in Belfast has been banned from using social media for 5 years in order to pay £500 compensation to Ms. Donoghue. Police arrested him in December of 2021 after he was linked to comments made on the Justice for Noah Twitter account. He initially denied harassing Ms. Donoghue, but pleaded guilty to the charge before the court proceedings reached a trial. So pretty much was like, on this Twitter, being like...
harassing this
person. Yeah, yeah. And, like, essentially...
It's for her child.
Yeah, inciting, like, sectarian violence.
What the fuck is wrong with these people?
I know.
I was watching a very short Vice documentary about a 26-year-old girl in New York today who had terminal cancer. She's an incredibly rare form of cancer. And she started a TikTok account to talk about her life and what she was going through and helping other people with terminal cancer. You should have seen the things people were saying to her.
Stop it.
Like, what? I was like, who? How fucked up are you in the head to go online and attack the most vulnerable people who have been through hell and back? Like, oh my God. But it's like Lindy West, who did Shrill, short book called Shrill. She's a plus size author and whatever else. And she told a story. There's a very famous Lindy West article where she met her online troll. So there was a guy that was, her father passed away. Lindy's father's passed away. And there was a guy on Twitter who created a Twitter account using her father's picture. Found her a picture of her father and was like tweeting her the most heinous, vile shit I have ever seen in my life. Like the most awful, awful stuff. Like just about her weight, about her father, about her life. Like just awful, 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 awful things. And I can't remember how she figured out who it was. But she figured out who it was, and she, I believe it was either a phone call. It was a phone call. She recorded speaking to him on the phone. And released it. It's online. If you Lindy West troll, you'll find it. And she was like, why do you hate me? And he said, I'm jealous of you because you love yourself. And he was like, despite all the things that I think are wrong with you, you still love yourself. And it bothered me so much that I went out and found a picture of your dead father, created a Twitter account and trolled you. And I was like, what?
What?
This man had a wife. He had a job. A lovely house. And he went online and found a picture of a stranger's father that he did not know. But because she was plus size and didn't hate herself, he was like, I'm not happy about that. It is the most bizarre interaction I've ever heard in my life. If you get a chance, have a listen to it, because I still don't know what happened. I still don't get it. But that's what people do. Like, they go online and they say, like, to that 26-year-old girl with cancer, they were like, oh, you'll be dust soon. See you in
what
hell.
What the fuck?
The most heinous, vitriolic, talking about, like, how her mother's going to cry herself to death. And the most vitriolic, heinous shit that I've ever seen in my life. And people are like, oh, they're bots. But I'm like, but they're not bots. They're human beings behind these accounts. Like, I just don't get it, man. It's... But obviously Ms. Dunhill's going through that as well, with people harassing her on Twitter. Her kid died. Her child died. I'll never understand it, and the amount of, like, psychology peer-reviewed papers you read about it and why people do these things, I will never understand it.
That's insane.
Yeah. The Lindy West thing really opened my eyes, because I was like, if you see someone happy and loving themselves, you can't deal with that. You can't physically be like, I'll let them be happy and deal with them. No, I'm going to ruin their lives. Like, anyway, the internet's a fucking nightmare.
Being alive is a fucking nightmare.
Like, I'm surprised we haven't been trolled more, to be honest. Anyway, men aren't the prize. Please know this. Sarah, excellent job this week.
Thanks.
Very, very well done. Once again, just for Noah's mum, I know she's not going to listen to this, but just that we're so sorry. And as frustrated as you are, you were frustrated. I can't imagine your frustration and upset. So we will be back next week. Colin is currently trying to get out of London because there's been a fault with something in London.
Air traffic control.
And he can't get out of London. So he's currently trying to get a plane out of London. So, you know, send vibes. And we will be back next week.
We will be back next week. Thanks for everybody who's joined the Patreon lately.
Thank you
we
so
really
much.
Appreciate it. Thanks for everybody who's come to the live shows. We really appreciate it. I've seen another one of you cunts on Facebook being like, can't go to the live show. Anybody want a ticket? You bastards. Right?
Don't leave any spare seats.
I'm harboring the resentment.
No, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Listen, I figured a lot. That happens all the time. People can't go to shows.
I will fucking... Don't buy tickets and don't come.
Please don't leave spare seats. Oh my God. I'll be mortified.
Like you're 21st and you're like, no one's going
to
come.
No one's going to come.
Anyway, everybody have a lovely week.
Yes,
stay
we'll
sound.
Talk to you
soon. Look after yourselves. If you want something to watch, watch Sister Wives. That's Sister Wives on TLC.
Sister Wives deeply problematic. I feel
yeah,
like it's
of course it is.
Yeah, yeah.
All of those shows on TLC are deeply problematic. Even Dr. Pimple Popper. Like those people are going to, because they're going to Dr. Pimple Popper because they can't afford healthcare.
Well, she's not problematic. The healthcare system in the United States is.
She's feeding into it, and that's my opinion, and I don't care.
Listen, I will hear no bad side of it. She's a queen.
My dad was watching it with me today.
She's a queen of my heart, and I love her so much.
He was like, what's that they're taking out of him?
Those big boys.
Disgusting.
Oh, I love the big boys.
No, they make me sick.
And I love when she cuts into the big boys.
Stop it! Turn this off!
I was going to shout for Colin. Okay, bye everybody!
Bye!
Let me see that, so I have to press, he said.
Ah, Jesus, Colin. Emma's only after been on to the people on the Patreon asking them for weird body pictures.
Weird
what are we gonna do?
Oh, just leave her at it.
Pustle spots and swollen holes, amputated toes, boogers from my nose. It's Emma's weird fetish. Nothing gross is out of bounds. Balls and scabby mounds, bloody tissue, bad breath. Weird fetish. Hairy warts and little hands, picks of rotten spots and infected cocks. It's Emma's weird fetish. Hairy warts and little hands, hairy little hands, hairy little hands.
What's with the earwax?
It's sick appeal. It's Emma's favorite. I cannot deal.
Oh, that's right, dirty bastard. Yes, yeah, syringe those fucking ears. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh Jesus, that's my type of shit right there. Get all that dirty fucking earwax out there now, you whore.
Weird fetish.